I think I've been a little bit lax in my illustrations recently, so I thought I'd up the ante a little bit today. I am the gate, Jesus said. I know it's a pallet and not quite a gate, but I thought it would do the job. Sorry, you get to see the back of it all the time, guys, but I thought we'd have a gate. I am the gate. Oh, I better follow my notes. We could go anywhere, couldn't we? I am the gate. As I thought about, very often we read this passage, we kind of rush through and go on to Jesus saying, I'm the good shepherd, because it's a lovely picture, isn't it? And we can link back to David the shepherd and Moses the shepherd. But actually, I am the gate is there, and it's one of Jesus' seven I am sayings. And I thought it would be really good to press into that a little bit today. So we're going to focus in on I am the gate. And the first thing the gate reminds me of, actually, I don't know if any of you remember, as children, a series of books called the I Spy books. Kind of a book of pictures, and you went around trying to spot all the things, trying to I Spy all the different things, and you tick them off, and you've got so many points. And the gate reminds me of those, because in one of them, it got I Spy, a five-bar gate. And it was one of those things that you had to spot, and I think you only got 5 points for it, because there were quite a lot of them around. Actually, I've noticed, looking this week, there aren't very many around now. They're all metal ones now, aren't they? But in those days, back when I were a lad, there were a lot of these wooden gates. I think it amused me at the time, perhaps because I was just learning about numbers and maths was a thing of mine, but they all had five bars. That was the set pattern. And I think there was such thing as a seven-bar gate, and you got sort of 10 points for spotting if you spied that one. So you've all got 10 points today, because there's seven here. But if you want to score another 5 points, I realise that the rectory gate has got five bars. It's a five-bar gate, installed by the Bauer boys, I think, back a little while ago, before my time. But that's where the gate leads me. And I think about the gates that I used to spot when I would go out walking with my family. And I was thinking about what a gate's for. And often we didn't bother opening the gate, because you could climb over them. They're great for climbing on. And I remember kind of at that point, I had two older brothers who would always kind of go straight over the gate. And so I remember as a younger brother, you know, only being able to get onto the bottom rung maybe. And then as I got a bit bigger and a bit taller, I could climb up a bit further. And eventually I managed to get to the top and perch on the top and sit on the top. Those metal ones are a bit cold to sit on, aren't they? But the wooden ones, so much better. Sit on the top and be king of all you survey. Obviously I would do that by the hinges, because I know my country code, and you shouldn't climb over the gate, not by the hinges. Yeah, I see a few people. I think that was from my Cub Scouting days. It's interesting that the links that I've been making this week, because we did look at the Jesus the Good Shepherd a few weeks ago during Lent, and as part of our Lent course, we were thinking about listening to God's voice. And it was actually down at Litchett Minster. We had a session where we were just praying for other people. And just spending time, quiet time, focusing on this person. We were in little groups of three, and two of us were focusing on one person, and we just had a quiet time, 2 or 3 minutes, where we just asked the Lord to give us maybe a picture or a word or a verse from the Bible to offer to this person. And we offered it in such a way, we said, well, it might be from God, it might be from me, but here's what I think. And as we were praying for someone down there, someone I didn't know at all, really, I got this picture of a gate. And I thought, is this some kind of cliche, open the gate and let something into your life? And then as I kind of thought about it, and a couple of minutes of quiet, actually the thought that came to me was, no, it's not about opening the gate, it's about just resting on the gate, leaning on the gate, and just taking the time to take stock of what's going on. And I shared this with the person that I've been praying with. He said that was so pertinent to him at that point. He'd got such a lot going on in his life that he felt was a real encouraging call for him to just take stock, to lean on the gate and spend a bit of time taking stock of what's going on. And I'm reminded of that now every time I come out of my drive and turn left into Jenny's Lane. There's a gate, albeit it's a metal one. I think it's a seven bar one. It's a metal one. But the views, I don't know if you know it, those of you that have driven down the hill today, if you look at it, opposite the entrance of Jenny's Lane, there's a wonderful gate there, and the view from it goes all the way across the Banbury Rings and beyond to Crumbourne Church. You can sort of see quite a distance, and it's a great gate for leaning on. It's just a reminder for me of how important it is to stop, to take stock. But when Jesus talks about I am the gate, It is in that context of shepherding and sheep. And what his listeners would have recognised is that the sheep in those days, the shepherd would have led the sheep from the front, would have called their names, and they would have followed. And at the end of the day, maybe, or when danger was around, the shepherd would have gathered the sheep into the fold. It would have been a stone, or would have maybe a fold, perhaps attached to a house, or out in the open. And there would have been an open entrance, and that's where the shepherd would have lay across the entrance. He would have literally been the gate. He would have lain across and spent the night there, maybe, if that was appropriate, to keep the predators out and to keep the sheep in. And that's what Jesus' listeners here would have been recalling, that the shepherd laying his life literally down for the sheep. And this, the word that is translated in our passage today as gate, thura, I think, is the Greek word, is actually used over again, not always for gate, sometimes for door or doorway or entrance. So it's interesting, always interesting to take that word and see what Jesus is linking in with. And one of the places it appears is on Easter Sunday, when the tomb is empty, and it's through the doorway, the gateway, the entranceway to the tomb, that the first disciples go in and find that Jesus has risen. Again, it appears in Revelation when Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And again, he's talking about that doorway. There's something about going through the doorway, the gateway. And it's interesting, and it's always struck me as, I guess, paradoxical in a way, that Jesus talks about, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." We kind of think of coming in and gathering together is where we'll get our sustenance, but there seems to be something for the sheep. Actually, they've got to go out. They've got to go out to the pasture. The sustenance is out rather than an in. And I'm still kind of wrestling with that one. I guess we come in and if we see us gathering together here as a picture of gathering as sheep and receiving from the Good Shepherd, then there is a time when we sustain ourselves being together, but actually we need to go out as well and share God's love and share with others. So that in and out, I think, is something for us to take on. Something else that Jesus' listeners would have recognised, I think, although not all the cross-reference Bibles pick it out, but some writers do, is that as Jesus describes himself as the gate, there's a wonderful verse in Psalm 118, which I think Jesus had in mind. And it's interesting that just a couple of verses later, there are more verses that we certainly do relate to Jesus. So Psalm 118, verse 20 says this: "This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it." I'm sure those listening to Jesus, they would have known their psalms, and they would have straight away, I'm sure, gone to that verse. But it's interesting, just two verses later, we read, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Of course, we recognise that verse as relating to Jesus. But the gate as well is there, just a couple of verses before. And then, and again, the translators have trouble exactly getting this word, what it means. In the translation we had from the NIV, right at the end of our passage, "I came that they may have life and life to the full." Life in all its fullness. In my NRSV, it's got life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. And there's something there about over and above anything we could possibly imagine. And it's a continuous, abundant life, not just somewhere in the future we'll get to this fullness, but it's fullness for now and for the future. So what does this abundance look like? Well, I thought we would look at the other passage just to perhaps give us a bit of an idea of what abundant life might look like that Anne brought us from Acts. The context of our Acts reading is this is that first Pentecost, when many have gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate I think it's the grain harvest, or the gathering of the grain in, and it's a Jewish festival, but it's taken a whole new significance, and we'll look at that in a few weeks' time. But verse 41, which Anne didn't read to us because it wasn't in our lectionary reading, says this: "So those who welcomed Peter's message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. That sounds like abundant church to me. I don't know about you. I'm not quite sure we could fit them all in here. Don't worry, I won't go and preach on the corner and gather. But there's abundance going on. And what did they do? As they gathered, as they stepped into a new life in Jesus, they were baptized. What was it they did? And we get it all summarized in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That's abundant life. That's fullness of life for them. Sometimes we read that life in all its fullness and think it's about a full bank account or a full fridge or a full house. But actually, it seems to me that they're filling their life with good things, with things that are going to sustain them. Apostles' teaching, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they're learning and growing. And that's something I know that we want to uphold here, that there's lifelong learning and growing that goes on. Fellowship, very important to us, isn't it? The fellowship and that sense of belonging to God's family and to as inheritors of Christ, with all the sons and daughters of God. And then the breaking of the bread, well, that's picking up on Jesus encouraging them to remember his crucifixion and his resurrection. And it's something that we'll do when we share bread and wine together here later. And then the fourth thing of these kind of pillars or rungs in a ladder, if you like, that are all really crucial to hold on to, are the prayers. And that's about connecting earth to heaven and heaven to earth. And it's where we draw our hope for the future from. So that's something of what abundance is like. And how can we enter in? How can we enter through Jesus the gate? Well, it seems to me there's a past, present and future element to this. Those of us that have been baptised or have been accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour have already entered into the gate. We've done that. And then there's an aspect for now, present, where we daily need to take that step to the gate and recognise that Jesus is the way and the one that's going to guide us in our lives. And then there's that future element that we pray that when we leave this life, we will go on through the gate and into eternal life. So what about the now? That's what we're interested in at the moment, I think. How can we ensure that we are going through the gate that is Jesus today? Well, the words that came to me as I was praying about this were, it's about obedience to Jesus, to his teaching. It's about submission, which is a difficult word sometimes, giving over all control of all of who we are to Jesus, trusting in him with each part of our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm quite good at perhaps on a Sunday saying, Lord, have all of me, all of who I am. And on Monday, I start to kind of gather a few things in and say, no, actually, I want to kind of control that bit of my life. I think I might know better. Usually by the next Sunday, I've realised that actually, no, it's far better for God to have control, for God to guide me. We need to give him our fears and our worries, our decisions, big and small. Come to him. It was the main focus, really, of our messy church on Friday. It was all about giving fears and worries to God. And we looked at Elijah and the story of Elijah. What a great man of God who achieved so much and yet still struggled sometimes and was fearful of the enemies that were around him, albeit it was a very different context to the one that we live in today. So we need to give to God our fears, our worries, the people and situations that concern us. We need to give them to him and let him guide us in those. Then he will shine his light into our darkness. He will lay across the door, be the gateway for us that will enable us to have that peace and rest. That's the picture I think we need to take for today. Those sheep were able to be restful and peaceful because they knew that the gate was across, the gate was in place. So that's the challenge for us today. The message that I want to leave you with is let's lean on the gate that is Jesus. Let's rest on him and recognise that it's in his strength that we're going to live out our lives of faith. It's his spirit that will sustain us. I'll just close with some words from a song you may you may know, it's been around for a while. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our gate. You are the gateway, the doorway, the entrance. Well, thank you that we can lean on you. We can come to you for strength, for sustenance. When our spirit is weak, you lift us up. Well, help us to turn to you with all the decisions, the many decisions that we have to make in life, the many choices. Help us and guide us as we read your word, as we share a fellowship together, as we break bread and remember the great victory of the cross and the empty tomb. As we connect with you through our prayers, Lord, guide us, we pray, and may you be truly the gate in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.